بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. Welcome back to another episode of Floodplains. My name is Ryan Yusuf Hilliard, and I thank you all for your patience in us getting the second episode of this fledgling service. We hope that Allah accepts it and the good that'll come from it. I was looking through the archives for something that would be a good reminder and a benefit for myself especially, but of course for everybody here that may be listening for the first time and or may not be familiar with the subject matter or the intent that we mentioned before on episode one. So I gave myself some time to really dig deep and to try to find the best possible resources and jewels, if you will, to share with all of you and to really help me to again find myself and see myself in our religion and see myself in this deen and remind myself of the greatness and the beauty and the ubiquity of Allah Himself. So what I came across and what I found was actually a really, really nice letter. Well, not really a letter, but more of a recorded speech. And this speech came from a Mawlid celebration, a celebration of the birth of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, that was delivered in 1966, Common Era, by Sheikh Ibrahim Nias, may God be well pleased with him, the scholar and great Muslim leader that originally came from Senegal. And this letter was graciously translated years ago, actually, by one of my mentors and one of my teachers, really, brother Ustadh Muhammad Abdullahi, who's based in Atlanta, Georgia. May Allah increase him and benefit him in goodness and provide for him from whence he does not know. And he translated this some time ago, and he would post some of these on Facebook and everything, and so I remember kind of copying it, copy and pasting it, and then doing some light edits and then posting it on the Tumblr page. So I thought it would be nice to try to bring this back, because it's a really good address, it's a really good speech that was recorded. And they're collected in a book called Jawahir al-Rasail, the jewels of epistles, or the jewels of letters, literally. And you can find this book in most Islamic bookstores, even online. I'm sure there's a PDF floating around, however you feel about PDFs being made free and available of published books. And it's mostly in Arabic. I think it's been translated maybe once or twice into French, but I have yet to see a complete translation into English, which may be forthcoming, Allah knows. But at any rate, Ustadh Muhammad Abdullahi took the time to translate this as well, and we're immensely grateful for it. And I want to read it for you, namely because it touches on some very important things, very essential things of our religion, of our deen, about the pivotal role and person of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the necessity of Aqidah, the creed of Islam, and also the sacred law, our Sharia, and also some other special points as well about the beauty of the two-tiered declaration of faith, the Shahadatain. Right? And also there's a specific section in his speech that is directed towards the youth. And also he touches on some other interesting things as well, which I hope we'll be able to reflect on and to see a couple of things. One, that he has tailored his speech or his address to his audience. He knows who's there, whether they're dignitaries or his own kinfolk from Senegal. He knows who he's speaking to in terms of their ethnicity and all of the things that come with that as well, especially in a place and time such as West Africa post colonialism. This is with not even 6 years, barely 6 years away from the French colonial project collapsing by and large in West Africa. And he also is speaking specifically to, you know, a number of things that are happening at this time, which are, you know, which are all coinciding. There's quite a bit of revolution and change and different approaches to understanding what Islam should or should not be, and what religion should or should not be for Africans and for people of the world, really. You know, there's a lot happening around in 19, you know, especially in 1966, if you imagine what's happening in the U.S. So hopefully we can make sense of this and to see some benefit in it for ourselves, inshallah. So I'm going to read the letter just as it is, and I hope there's some benefit from it. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all thanks and praise belongs to the absolutely unique, the one without second, the quintessence, the eternally self-sufficient, the holy king, the sacrosanct, the source of peace. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the protector, the aware. I thank and praise him, who is highly exalted, for each and every one of his blessings and bounties, which he has bestowed upon us. He is the possessor of majesty and generosity. The greatest blessing which he has granted to us is his ascending of the Prophet of mercy and peace from among ourselves, with the natural religion of Islam and Iman, our Master Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him. He has chosen him and given him the sacred law, which has completely settled for us what is permissible and what is prohibited. As Allah says in Surah As-Saff, ayah number 9, it is he who has sent his messenger with right guidance and the religion of truth to make it victorious over all other religions, even though the idolaters and disbelievers in the oneness of Allah may hate it. So, he guided us after we were astray and ignorant, and he brought the hearts of the believers together, after they were separate and full of enmity for one another. Allah also says in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 103, and hold fast altogether to the rope of Allah, and be not divided among yourselves, and remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies when he joined your hearts in love, so that by his grace you became brethren. And he also says in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 63, and moreover he has put affection between their hearts, if not you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have produced such an affection, but Allah has done it, for he is exalted in might, the all-wise. We have thus become Muslims, those who submit to the will of Allah, and we have become as one body and one solidly cemented structure. All of the other tribes of Muslims are only one community, one ummah, and the best ummah ever raised from mankind. As Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 92, truly this is your ummah, is one community, and I am your Lord, therefore worship me. After having said this, on the auspicious occasion of his noble birth, the Mawlid al-Sharif, I am renewing my call and invitation to every tribe on the planet Earth to come to the bliss and felicity which is to be found in holding firm to the eternal religion of Allah, Ad-Din al-Islam, the religion of peace, freedom, fraternity, love, and equality. I am saying just what our Lord, Azza wa Jal, exalted is he, and our Master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, have commanded. And this is in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 64. Say, O people of the scripture, come to a word that is just and fair between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then, if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims. I am renewing my call and invitation to the Muslims, whose numbers have reached approximately 700 million human beings and is steadily increasing, to hold firm to this religion and to better understand what is desired by Allah the Exalted and his messenger, peace and blessings be upon him. There are numerous summons given in the Holy Quran to come to his remembrance, to deeply reflect, and to study and meditate, and to contemplate, to always seek the increase of knowledge, and to act in accordance with that knowledge. Surely, the religion of Islam maintains that everyone should hold firm to these principles. Allah says in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 55, Allah has promised among those among you who believe and do righteous good deeds that he will certainly grant them succession to the present rulers in the land, and he granted it to those before them, that he will grant them the authority to practice their religion which he has chosen for them, and that he will surely give them in exchange a safe security after their fear, provided that they worship and do not associate anything with me. But whosoever disbelieves after this, they are the wrongdoers, they are the fasiqun, and the promise of Allah can never be broken. If the Muslims are not realizing this promise, it is due to their spiritual sickness and not any deficiency with the one, capital O, who has made the promise. And he has said in another verse, which is found in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 141, and never will Allah grant to the disbelievers a way to triumph over the believers. So if we are finding that the disbelievers have been triumphant over us, or over some of us, the fault lies with us and not with the divine promise. The book which has mentioned this promise is a book in which, according to Allah in Surah Al-Fusilat, Ayah 42, quote, falsehood cannot come to it from before it nor from behind it. It is sent down by the All-Wise, worthy of praise. O my brothers and sisters, the religion of Islam cannot be usefully benefited from without the establishment of two prime conditions. That is, the correct divine creed and establishing the sacred law. The divine creed, which is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verses or ayat 136 to 137, is as such. Say, O Muslims, we believe in Allah and that which has been sent down to us and that which has been sent down to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub, and to Al-Asbat, the 12 sons of Ya'qub, and that which has been given to Musa and Isa, and that which has been given to the other prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and to him we have submitted ourselves as Muslims. So if they believe in the like of that which you believe, then they are rightly guided. The fruit of this divine creed is faith, iman, and the fruit of the sacred law is doing good deeds and having good character. In Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 107 to 108, Allah says, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds shall have the gardens of Al-Firdaus for their entertainment, wherein they shall dwell forever. No desire will they have for removal therein. And again, also Allah mentions in Surah Al-Fusilat, Ayat 30 through 32, verily those who say, our Lord is Allah, and then stand firm, on them the angels will descend, saying, fear not nor grieve, but receive the glad tidings of paradise with which you have been promised. We have been your friends in the life of this world and also in the hereafter. Therein you will have all that your inner selves desire, and therein you will have all that you ask, an entertainment from Allah, the oft-forgiving, most merciful. The religion of Islam summons all mankind to hold to this divine decree and to this sacred law, and to cease holding on to racism, sexism, tribalism, color discrimination, or classism. All people are equal in the presence of Allah, the Exalted, the Real King. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 13, Allah says, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer which has conscious awareness of Allah. Verily, Allah is all-knowing and well acquainted with all things. And again, Allah mentions in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 123, it will not be in accordance with your desires, Muslims, nor those of the people of the scripture. Whoever works evil will have the recompense thereof, and he will not find any protector or helper besides Allah. These two verses make it abundantly clear that superiority in the presence of Allah, the Exalted, is not based on being a physical descendant or relative of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in deference to other believers. Because the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is the grandfather of every righteous person, even if he is a black slave. This is not according to some hadith, but the meaning of which is correct according to the narration, which says, quote, "The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets," end quote. Therefore, if a man is in Islam, he is in the position of respect and reverence. Women are the sisters of men, and if they are in Islam, they too are due the same respect and reverence. The Most High says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 35, "Verily, the Muslim men and Muslim women, believing men and believing women, obedient men and obedient women, truthful men and truthful women, patient men and patient women, humble men and humble women, charitable men and charitable women, fasting men and fasting women, chaste men and chaste women, and men who remember Allah much and women who remember Allah much. Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward." There is no benefit in having a righteous husband if the wife fails to follow this religion. Allah says in Surah At-Tahrim, Ayah number 10, Allah sets forth an example for those who disbelieve. The wife of Noah, peace be upon him, and the wife of Lot, peace be upon him. They were under two of our righteous slaves, but they both betrayed their husbands. So they, these two prophets, availed them not against Allah, and it was said, "Enter the fire along with those who enter." End quote. Just as there is no benefit in having a righteous wife if the husband fails to follow the religion. Also, later, the next verse, as a matter of fact, in Surah At-Tahrim, Ayah number 11, "And Allah has set forth the example of those who believe, the wife of Fir'aun, of Pharaoh, when she said, 'My Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise, and save me from Pharaoh and his work, and save me from the people who are corrupt.' Everyone shall be requited in accordance with their deeds. And if the deeds are good, the reward shall be good. If the deeds are evil, the reward shall likewise be evil." In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 286, Allah says, "Allah burdens not a person beyond their scope. They get reward for that which they have earned, and they are punished for that which they have earned." Oh, my brothers and sisters, Allah, the Exalted, alone has created mankind to know him, to worship him, and to make their religion sincere for him alone. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, Ayah 56, he says, "And I have not created the jinn in mankind except that they should worship me. And he has created them in order that they may profit, not that they should gain anything." Allah also says in the same Surah Al-Dhariyat, Ayah 56 and 57, "I seek not any provision from them, nor do I ask that they should feed me. Allah is the provider, the owner of power, and the Almighty." And also in Surah Al-Qamar, Ayah number 5, Allah also says, "Perfect wisdom is this Qur'an, but the preaching of warning benefits them not." End quote. Allah has sent his messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, to establish proof and evidence against mankind. Faith in Allah and his messenger guarantees faith in all of the prophets, the angels, the paradise, and the hellfire. As he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 285, The messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. They say, "We make no distinction between one another of his messengers." And they say, "We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return of all things." Regarding the two-tiered declaration of faith, the Shahadatain, the first of these messengers was Noah, peace be upon him, and the last of them was Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. He chose them and made them worthy of receiving knowledge directly from Allah, the Exalted, to give guidance to mankind as a mercy from Allah himself. The key to Islam is La ilaha illallah, and this is also the key to paradise. Whoever refuses to recite the two-tiered declaration of faith, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the emissary, the messenger of Allah. This person who refuses to recite the two-tiered declaration of faith is a disbeliever. Whoever only recites one part of it and refuses to recite the other is also a disbeliever. Faith is to affirm, and disbelief is to deny. It is to disbelieve in the Quran and to disbelieve in the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in words and deeds. As for a Muslim who commits sins by doing what is prohibited, they are to be considered only a sinner and not a disbeliever, but they must repent. In Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 48, Allah says, "Verily, Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with him, but he forgives other than that whom he will, and whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin." Repentance is something which is always accepted by Allah the Exalted. The one who repents from sin is considered the same as one who has no sin. The conditions of an accepted repentance are to have regret for the sin, to desist from committing the sin, and to have the intent to never return to the sin. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 222, Allah says, "Surely Allah loves those who turn to him in repentance, and he loves those who purify themselves." The two-tiered declaration is to say, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God," and then to surrender and submit to the sacred law of Islam without ascribing any partners to Allah in his worship. Allah is rightfully deserving of worship, and he is the creator of this world by his power. He was, and there was nothing with him, for he is the eternal one, Al-Qadim, who has no beginning, and he is the eternal one, Al-Baqi, who has no ending. As Allah says of himself in Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah number 3, he is the first and the last, the manifest, the hidden, and he is knowing of all things. O young people, I am very happy and thankful for your wonderful speeches. I am advising you to be at the vanguard of Islam, because the future of every nation belongs to its youth, but not to all of them, only to the intellectual ones and those who possessed praiseworthy character and high aspirations. As for the young people who have no education, no culture, and no good character, they are just like seeds which produce no fruit. So I am advising you all to struggle hard to acquire knowledge, and not just Islamic knowledge of what is incumbent or supererogatory, or only mathematics, Arabic grammar, eloquence, or rhetoric, but cooperate with one another and raise your aspirations to gain the knowledge of the hidden and mysterious things of this world. Allah the Most High says in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 185, "Behold all that is in the heavens and the earth." In Surah Yunus, Ayah 101, Allah says such. He says, "Say, Ya Rasulullah, peace and blessings be upon him, behold all that is in the heavens and the earth." And then later in the Quran, Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 185, Do they not look at the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all things which Allah has created? I'm also very happy and thankful for Sheikh Al-Ustadh Ibrahim Hawi and his Qasida Tanana, the Hummingbird, and all of the other poets. O my brothers and sisters, we are upon a religion which I am very certain that Allah, the Exalted, is well pleased with, and our proof of that is this Qur'an, which has been recited since its revelation, and it is not possible to change it, replace it, or alter it. This Qur'an, which is what the unlettered Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, challenged the entirety of mankind with. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 23, Allah says, "And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down to our slave, then bring a surah of its like, and call upon your helpers besides Allah if you are truthful." This Qur'an is a miracle which shall last for all of eternity. And as the poets have said, it shall remain with us forever, and it surpasses the miracles of all the prophets since its coming and will never cease. The noble companions of the Prophet, may Allah be well pleased with them all, have preeminence and supremacy over all of their enemies until the day of resurrection, as they have been distinguished with having truthfulness, patience, having hearts which were connected to Allah, and firmness of resolution. There is no superiority over one or the other except by religious conviction and conscious awareness of Allah Himself, the Exalted. In the 11-volume book Kitab al-Tabaqat al-Kabir of Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Muni al-Zahri, may Allah be well pleased with him, it says, quote, "I stood before Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, and he asked me, 'Where are you coming from, al-Zahri?' I replied, 'From Mecca.' He said, 'Who have you left in charge of his people?' I said, 'Atta ibn Rabah.' He asked, 'Is he from among the Arabs or from one of the Mawali?' I said, 'He is one of the Mawali.' Then he asked, how is he leading the people?' I said, 'By his religiosity, his diyana, and the great number of narrations he has, the riwaya.' He said, 'The people of religiosity and narrations must lead people.' Then he asked, 'Who is leading the people of Yemen?' I said, 'Tawus ibn Kisan.' He asked, 'Is he an Arab or from the Mawali?' I answered, 'He is one of the Mawali.' He asked, 'How is he ruling the people?' And I replied, 'Same as Atta ibn Rabah.' He said, 'Then he is deserving to rule the people.' And then he asked me, 'Who is ruling the people of Egypt?' And I answered, 'Yazid ibn Abi Habib.' He asked, 'Is he an Arab or one of the Mawali?' I replied, 'He is one of the Mawali.' And then he asked, 'Who is leading the people of Sham?' I replied, 'Makhlul al-Dimashqi.' To which he replied and asked of me, 'Is he an Arab or is he one of the Mawali?' I said, 'He is one of the Mawali.' And then he asked, 'Who is ruling the people of the Arabian Peninsula?' And I said, 'Maymun ibn Mihran.' He asked, 'Is he an Arab or is he from the Mawali?' And I said, 'He is from the Mawali.' And then he asked, 'Who is ruling the people of Hormana? And I answered him, Dahaq ibn Muhazim. He asked, 'Is he an Arab or one of the Mawali?' And I said, 'He is one of the Mawali.' And then he asked, 'Who is ruling the people of Basra?' And I replied, Al-Hasan ibn Abi al-Hasan. He asked, 'Is he an Arab or one of the Mawali?' And I said, 'He is one of the Mawali.' Then he said, 'Woe to you, who is ruling the people of Kufa?' And I said, 'Ibrahim al-Nakhir.' He asked, 'Is he an Arab or is he one of the Mawali?' And I replied, 'He is an Arab.' Then he exclaimed, 'Woe to you, you have finally relieved me, al-Zahri. By Allah, the Mawali are ruling over all the Akabir and speaking from the pulpits, the Manabir, while the Arabs are under them, listening and learning.' Then I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the affair of Allah and His religion, and it is His religion. Whoever preserves it will gain preeminence and superiority, and whoever wastes it will fail. This great Eid celebration on the occasion of the Prophet's blessed birth, peace and blessings be upon him, will increase us in strength and fill our hearts with faith, certainty, and firm resolve. Allah says in Surah Al-Hud, ayah 120, "And all that we relate to you of the news of the messengers is in order that we may make strong and firm your heart thereby." In the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, we have a good example to follow. He gave his everything for this religion, his life, his wealth, his family, and his companions. He established it, supported it, defended it, fought it, and in the cause of Allah, for it, and migrated for it. He did all of this to make the word of Allah the Exalted supreme, and to make the word of the disbelievers low and minimal. May Allah reward him with the best of rewards for all that he did for this ummah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessings be upon him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I cannot end my speech without praising Allah the Exalted for liberating most of the lands of Islam and the Arabs in Africa and Asia. I am asking him to liberate the remainder of them, especially Palestine, for it is one of the most important affairs to the Muslims. May he return the displaced refugees and repay the impostor frauds their rightful punishment. That will be a day of rejoicing for the believers due to the help of Allah. May he also liberate the southern Arabian Peninsula, common day Yemen, and to the brave people of Kashmir. I am asking Allah the Exalted to lead and guide the Muslims and to look over their affairs and to help them. I am asking Allah the Exalted to unify them upon the truth in the shade of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, the example of His Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him. My last words are to express my extreme gratitude to the brethren in Allah, the community of Arab Muslims, who have demonstrated their brotherhood of Islam by sharing with us this occasion and being with us in ease and difficulty, all to help the cause of Islam. They are the best of our neighbors, and we ask that Allah the Exalted continue to grant them success. Oh, my brothers and sisters, may Allah grant you all a happy Eid, and may every year find you in goodness. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And so ends the letter number 5 from Sheikh Ibrahim Nias of Senegal, addressing his community in Senegal, in Medina Bay, in Kaolack, on the occasion of the Maulid celebration, which coincidentally met up with the day of Eid. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. This is a beautiful letter. This is a very deep letter, too. And a couple of things that struck me especially were that everything that he wanted to say, everything that he wanted to get across, was all derived from the Quran. All of it. Very rarely, maybe I think I want to say maybe 2-3 times max, did Sheikh Ibrahim mention or use a hadith or athar, like a narration of sorts from the tradition or from the annals of our history. He entirely relied on the Quran for his knowledge and his wisdom and the beauty of his address. And I think that this is very indicative of a couple of things. Obviously, first and foremost, on the surface, it shows that he is a man of the Quran. He loves the Quran. He has not just memorized it, but fallen deeply and just madly in love with it, with everything that Allah has said, because the depth of it, the profundity of it, and the relatability of Allah's words is incomparable. And he makes sure that this is known, that every example that he wants to use in encouraging the believers, all those who are gathered for this momentous occasion of Eid, and also the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, that everything points back to the Quran. Everything points back to the original and indisputable source of guidance and of mercy and of beauty for all of us as Muslims, of all of us as believers. And it takes a special type of person to fall in love with the Quran like that. And I hope that, and I pray that Allah allows all of us at least a share of the love that He has created and the love that He has put into the world and that He has made for His words and for specifically this book. At least some share of the love for the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, had, and all of the righteous people from then up until the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Amen. So that's one aspect of it. But then another thing that struck me clearly was how everything that he had to say here, even though the subject matter was leading to specific points where it started with, you know, something religious but ended with more of a topical matter, was that everything roots from the Quran itself. The subject matter that he started with was about understanding and knowing what the point of your deen is, what the point of your identity, right? And your identity is one who adheres to the sacred law and the one who understands what it means to be Muslim, what it means to be a believer, what it means to understand, what it means to know and to have a relationship with Allah the Exalted, and how all of us are in it together as a community. So he establishes that first and foremost, and then he goes on to say, these are the building blocks of your community, these are the building blocks of your identity, right? Collectively and individually. Right? You build this up as individually as you can, and then you come together with like-minded people and kindred souls, if I can use that term, who are also striving towards understanding Allah in this regard, and you build a community with each other. And that's very simple, and it's very easy for Allah to do that because He's created us for that purpose and in that regard. And then for us to be able to use this as a reminder for one another through the declaration of faith, the two-tiered declaration of faith, the Shahadatain, and reminding each other towards that, and that this is the separation between this community and others. Right? This is the thing that's going to make sure that we don't fall into the traps and even some of like the historical realities of people who used to believe but then fell into something else, right? Or people who have not been vigilant and steadfast upon the favors and the gifts of guidance that Allah has given us and even given them. And that's something that has happened throughout history. And so this is a reminder through the Shahadatain, through the two-tier declaration of faith, that this is going to keep you accountable. This is what's going to keep you, what's going to remind you of that identity that he established. And then he goes straight to not the elders and not to, you know, the dignitaries or the presidents or the other, you know, other of his contemporaries that may be sitting next to him. He addresses the youth. These are the people that for him are most important. And not to say that each of the elders and other scholars and shuyukh and dignitaries that are there don't have their importance or don't have their, you know, their place. But he's very specific about speaking to the youth because he understands what their place means pivotally in this time of change and upheaval. And if you look at all the other movements and everything else that was happening in 1966, the youth were the ones that were moving the dial of change. They were the ones that were pushing for revolution, pushing for a lasting positive impact for their future and for those who would come after them, wanting to see something different from the status quo, wanting to see something different than what they probably grew up in or what they saw their parents and their elders struggling with. So with that, we even see that now where the youth, the young people are taking charge and always moving that dial forward towards progress. But it has to be rooted in an understanding of who they are, what their relationship with Allah is, and how they construct their identity on that. Because, and then what it goes into later on, no other marker of identity is going to last except that which you have established with Allah Himself, the one who created you. No other point of identification, none of the other distinctions, other than the tamyizat in Arabic, as they call it, are going to have a have any weight except for your taqwa, except for your God consciousness, your piety, your relationship with your creator. Not your race, not your gender, not your socioeconomic status, not even your education. Even though these are things that are going to help you, or these things that can and should be acknowledged and given their just due, put in their proper place. And if there is injustice, especially racial injustice or issues of gender equality or the like, putting things in their proper place, but in accordance with what Allah has placed in that regard. And so that's amazing. It's very important that he's reminding our generation and all generations of young people that are going to come even after us to be able to do, is to remember Allah, to know your identity based on what Allah has created for you and nothing else, and to act on that which you know. And then he brings up, and this was probably one of the points that really brought out to me, was he brought up the fact of non-Arabs in Islamic history, non-Arabs amongst the Sahabas and amongst the subsequent generations after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those companions, and the exchange between Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Muni al-Zahri and Abdullah ibn Marwan was a very interesting conversation, because all of these noble people, all of these righteous Muslims, may Allah be well pleased with them and forgive them of their shortcomings, are leading all of these different, are the governors or are the caretakers of these different areas of the Muslim lands, from Mecca Mukarrama and to Iraq and to Egypt and to Yemen. All of these places are being taken care of or being led by non-Arabs. All of them. And that's amazing to me. Like, this term Mawali is a somewhat similar term, not quite exactly, but somewhat similar term to like Ajam, right, which is somebody who is not of Arab descent. And so he's listing all of these people, and they're all of the Mawali, like they're all leading, they're all leaders who are not Yemeni, they're not Qureshi, they're not Tamimi, they're not Qahtani. They don't have these, they're not what you would normally expect out of, not what was normally expected or what was normative, if I can use that term, from society that time. But it's only at the end when he's bringing up Ibrahim al-Nakhi'i over Iraq, and you find out that that person, Ibrahim, is Arab, then this person Abdul Malik ibn Marwan is relieved. He's like, okay, finally there's an Arab in charge, like, thank God. Basically we're saying, like, you have all these non-Muslim, these non-Arabs ruling over us Arabs and stuff like that, and like, speaking and teaching for them and stuff, like, what would people say about that? Like, you're stressing me out here. Like, who are all these, how did all these non-Arabs extend over Arabs like that? Like, when did that happen? But then the narrator, Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Muni is taken back, and he's like, leader of the believers, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is what Allah is doing, and this is his religion, not yours. You don't get to determine who gets what, and who teaches what, and who leads who. Whoever and he says, quote, whoever perseveres in this religion, in this deen, will gain preeminence and superiority, and whoever wastes it will fail. These wonderful people, these wonderful leaders of our community, whether they're Arab or not, are leaders, and they're doing what they're supposed to, and it doesn't matter what their relation, what their ethnicity is. They are remembering Allah, and they know who they are based off of what Allah has created for them. They know their aqidah, they know their deen, and they are teaching and reminding people of it according to that. And that's what matters. That's what matters above all else. And it can be noted and acknowledged that, yes, this person is black. Yes, this person is Persian. Yes, this person is from wherever. Does it matter that they're not Arab? Does it matter that they are of this specific lineage or genealogy? And in other places, Sheikh Ibrahim like addresses this in other letters and the like, which you can hopefully get to in future episodes, Lord willing. But it's a very important thing here, because when he's addressing this, he knows who's in his audience. He knows that there are dignitaries from all over the, not only from West Africa, but all over the modern, what we call in the modern day Middle East and North Africa. From Morocco, from Mauritania, from Libya, from Egypt, and even, you know, in other parts as well. And, racism and discrimination on this basis of like, okay, we're the Arabs and we have ascendancy over everybody else. And of course, which is somewhat based on hadith, but was taken out of context or is used as a means of one-uppance, right, of getting one over on the rest of the non-Arab Muslims that are in the world. He's dispelling all of that. And he knows exactly, he doesn't care who hears it. He doesn't care whether they're dignitaries or not, whether they're of noble lineage or not, whether they're of a scholastic lineage or class or not. You know, and this was a problem. This is a problem and still continues to be a problem in places like modern-day Mauritania and other countries as well, where there's a lot of discrimination and racism and the like towards black people, whether they're even of Arab descent themselves or not, colorism and discrimination on that basis. And there's like this spiritual or religious rhetoric that's used in order to justify it. And he's saying, no, this is not the case at all, because you have all of these lands, all of your lands, basically, it's like all of your lands, all the places where you lived, all of these people were not ruled by Arabs. All of these places where your deen, your relationship with Allah, your Islam came from people who were not Arab. And yet you're a Muslim now. You're an Arab Muslim now to this day because of them, these non-Arab Muslims. So he knows his audience, and that's powerful to me, man. That's something else. MashaAllah, walhamdulillah. So he knows his audience, but he's not being disrespectful. He's just like, look, remember who you are, remember why you are, and don't ever forget it. And the means of Allah, this affair, this life, this amr is from Allah. And he'll use whoever he wills. He'll use whoever and how whoever he wants, however he wants, in order for you to be reminded of who he is. Whether they're black, Arab, or whatever. And this is on a huge day. This is on the day of Eid. This is on the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the Maulid celebration, all in one. So he's packing a wallop here of a speech, mashallah. So as we're reflecting on this speech, if you're interested in this speech, you can email me, Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at floodplains.co, and I'd be more than happy to share this, share the speech with you as it was recorded. And again, many, many thanks to Ustadh Muhammad Abdullahi for translating it and making it available to the public. May Allah reward him immensely for every letter. But this is the point. This is the value and the gravitas of people like Sheikh Ibrahim and the many other wonderful scholars of his generation, of his time, those before him and those even after him, who express their deen, express their relationship with Allah in no uncertain terms. We're unapologetic, but we're also very loving and knew their Lord, and we're madly in love with the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and leverage that love towards serving others, even if that meant telling them truths that may have made them uncomfortable or in challenging things about our society and about ourselves, that ignorance and that darkness was obscuring from us. to show that the light of Allah, the light of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is in each and every one of us, if we allow it to, if we polish it with his remembrance, if we bring it forth with knowledge and with service and with an intention to draw closer to him, and all the means by which we have to draw close to him, whether it's politics, whether it's service to our communities, to our families, and everything in between. So I hope that this reminder, that this speech shows that for us as Muslims living in 2020, that we have this opportunity to really and truly use this deen for our own benefit, to remind ourselves who we are, why we are here, and what we have to do. Yes, and everything that is created, everything that we are interacting with, is a means towards that ultimate end, which is Allah the Exalted himself and no one else. And I hope that Allah, in his generosity and his beauty and his might and in his mercy, allows you and me to truly benefit and taste all of its fruits in one way or another. And if there's anything that was mentioned that was self-serving or selfish or misleading, I seek your forgiveness, and I ask you to beg your Lord to forgive me. But if there's anything in here that was of benefit, that reminded you and stirred within your heart a deeper love and appreciation for Allah, for the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and the people of the Quran, especially people like Sheikh Ibrahim Nyas, may God be pleased with him, then that is entirely from the bounties and the mercy of Allah, and he bestows that to whoever he wills, however he wills, whyever he wills. And I ask all of you to pray for me, and I'll be doing the same for all of you, and I look forward to our next episode, inshallah, Lord willing, coming soon. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.